Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 400, the stanzas 1, 4, and 7. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. O my soul, Jehovah, praise. I will sing the glorious praises of my God through all my days, and what follows, Psalter 400, the stanzas 1, 4, and 7. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 147. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord hath built up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Eternal and merciful God and Father, the Creator of the heavens and of the earth, then it is thy good and thy gracious hand that is gathered by renewal on this Lord's Day within the walls of thy house of prayer. Then thou granteth many reasons to praise thee. We have heard from the psalmist that he was given to praise thee for thy wonderful works of grace, but also in the realm of nature. And then we have heard it, he hath not dealt so with any nation, our Lord. Then also in this day, in this evening hour, then thou maketh the difference where there is no difference, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then the apostle has asked that profound question, and who maketh thee to differ, and our Lord? Then we only have one answer, and that is thee and thee alone. Then in this country, a generation growing up, boys and girls, where the scriptures are never opened at the family table, children that have never went up to thy house on the Lord's Day. And then an older generation, where when they were young, that it was so different, where they have departed so far from thee. Great multitudes being deceived for that never-ending eternity, our Lord, when we may consider all of our blessings. May there be those times, may it be in this evening hour, that we may receive a soft heart from thee, an impression what we deserve, and to be given to see the multitude of thy blessings, and that it may still be declared unto us, that good and that great shepherd, who has a sheepfold, who has a church, and where the shepherd is still gathering his church. Lord, also outwardly, then we are privileged above so many people. By renewal, we commend that people in that country where there is war, death, sorrow, discouragements, hopes that can never be fulfilled. Many churches and properties destroyed, our Lord. Wilt thou remember that people, and may the solemn calling be used for the coming of thy kingdom, and that thy people may be led further. Many are hungry, hospitals on sick and deathbeds, prisons. There are many wandering upon the face of the earth because of substance abuse that cannot think properly, cannot reason. And our Lord, then in this evening we may receive a place from thee under thy word and eternal testimony, and thou wast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. To that end, we humbly ask thee by renewal that thy word may be richly blessed, that there may be those that may be gathered within the sheepfold by that new birth, and those whom thou hast gathered, that they may hear their name that they may be given to rejoice and more exercised with the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, Hallowed be thy name. Wilt thou so bless thy word in the church? Wilt thou help the consistory to that end? And do bless thy word in the family circles? Wilt thou remember the families in a time when our children are not called upon to study? Wilt thou grant a time of refreshment? Wilt thou keep from sin and temptation? And may it please thee to spare in the summer months. We commend unto thee thy church all over the earth, the established congregations, those that are greatly afflicted on account of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember all in prison, oh, do comfort, uphold and encourage them. We commend unto thee the Jewish nation. May the time hastily arrive that the veil may be removed. Wilt thou remember all mission work, also our mission field? Wilt thou remember thy servants? Remember the team. We commend unto thee different families in our midst that are contemplating, considering the possibility to locate elsewhere, to give our families more opportunities for a place to live, with an intent that thy church may be established. Then we commend them unto thee. Grant them a special place at thy footstool. Wilt thou be the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire? Wilt thou remember the nations of the earth, also our poor nation? Remember our leaders federally, provincially, in the cities and in the towns. Then notwithstanding our great and grievous sins, then thou yet granteth many a blessing, but, O Lord, when there is no repentance, then it cannot be different, because thou art just, thou art patient in thy long-suffering, and man abuses thy long-suffering, but it shall come to an end. May we and our children be given to see the signs of the time. May we be given to hasten, given to seek a place in the sheepfold of the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it shall be well for time and for eternity, bind the reality and the shortness of life upon all of our hearts. By renewal we commend unto thee all the mourning ones, our elderly ones, all under the physician's care. Remember all the sick relatives, the circumstances, they are known unto thee. Wilt thou remember the handicapped ones? Remember the difficulties of the body, the difficulties of the mind. Wilt thou remember the distressed? Lord, do bless our family circles, that love may abound between husbands and wives, between parents and children. And when it is different, wilt thou yet grant repentance while it can yet, and while it may yet? What has been separated, do bring it together according to thy institution. Wilt thou remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters? Lord, do grant thy spirit, and speaking and in listening, we are so dependent upon thee. Thou knowest how that each has come up to thy house in this evening hour. My beggars and sires have come up with the vehement desire that thy great and worthy name may be praised and glorified in us and by us, and also in the midst of thy church, the purpose of all creation, the purpose of recreation. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 402, the stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 6. Oh, sing ye hallelujah. 'Tis good our God to praise. 'Tis pleasant and becoming to him our songs to raise. And what follows, Psalter 402, the stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 6. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 47, question and answer 122, which is the first petition. Answer, hallowed be thy name, that is, grant us first rightly to know thee, and to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works, in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, and mercy and truth are clearly displayed, and further also, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. Lord's Day 47 speaks of the first petition, hallowed be thy name, with three thoughts in the first place, knowing his name in its magnitude. Secondly, praising his name in all his works. And thirdly, directing our lives regarding his name. The first petition, hallowed be thy name, knowing his name in its magnitude, and that word magnitude, boys and girls, that means greatness. Praising his name in all his works, and directing our lives regarding his name. Thus first, knowing his name in its magnitude. Beloved congregation, the last Lord's Day, we have considered the address of the prayer which Christ has taught to his church, and in this evening hour, we are called upon to consider the first petition. A sixth petition in the Lord's Prayer, the first three pertaining to God's glory, and the last three pertaining to our needs. Then we can see the first petition, hallowed be thy name, the sum and the purpose of the other petitions, and were the other five petitions, that they are the fulfillment of the first. Concerning the glorifying of God's name, then it becomes the desire of the lambs and the sheep of the great shepherd, that that shepherd may be exalted to the highest. And concerning the shepherd and the sheep, then the flock of sheep, that shall reflect much of the shepherd. Of course, it is true, a natural shepherd has not everything in his hand, rain and sunshine and sickness. And nevertheless, when we drive through the countryside where there are sheep farmers, and when there are many sheepfolds where the sheep are thriving, and a few others where it is not so, then the question shall arise. And to that end, then there is a special question that I shall ask you, at the beginning of the explanation of the first petition, and that concerns God's glory. Has that ever become your desire? Has that become your concern? And has that become your delight? Because when the Lord works by His Spirit, then we become exercised with that petition. When we consider the place of this petition, that is also reasons for examination when we consider our prayers concerning the glory of God's name. Is that uppermost, or many other needs on the front? And then surely, not to forget to add the petition for the glory of His name, perhaps, I say it reverently, hoping if we now add that petition that His name may be glorified, while in our petitions, in our thoughts, that it is not uppermost, but then hoping perhaps that the Lord will hear our other petitions. And now we read in our Lord's Day, which is the first petition, hallowed be thy name, that is, grant us. Then the instructors are implying that it is missing in our hearts, that it needs to be given. It is a matter that has been merited by Christ and which the church receives by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit. When we read that the instructor emphasizes, grant us first, then he brings us back to paradise, because we find similar expressions when we read, rightly to know thee. Then we have heard already in Lord's Day number 3, answer number 6, where it was asked whether God has created man so corrupt and perverse. Then we read that God has made him in His image. And then there is added the purpose that he might rightly know God, his Creator, heartily love Him, and live with Him in eternal happiness, to glorify and praise Him. Thus a similar expression that we find in this answer we have heard at the beginning of our catechism concerning the creation of man in God's image, and that it was the delight of Adam and Eve to glorify their Creator and benefactor and to walk in that sweet communion. The Apostle John on the island Patmos in Revelation 4, then he was given to see a vision of him that sat upon the throne, and around that throne 24 seats with 24 elders representing the Old and New Testaments, and then there were those beasts representing the angels, and then they have sung, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And then in verse 11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Thus then in this petition, necessary that we go back to paradise, the state of rectitude, where the Lord has created us perfectly, but where we have lost that image, and now we have become self-seekers. And to that end, in this petition, it is implied, again as first, a prayer for the immediate, the loving, and the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, grant us first. That is the desire. No, I am not saying that it is as it ought to be. The lambs and the sheep, they have many reasons to be ashamed. And also concerning this petition, to pray with the publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But when it may be lively, and when the Spirit sheds that love abroad in the heart, then it becomes their vehement desire, as we have heard out of Psalm 147, that the Lord may be praised in all his works. Grant us first rightly to know thee. Hallowed be thy name. What are we now to understand by the name of the Lord? Then in that name, then his essence is revealed, can never make a separation. We have learned, young people, you can remember it from Reverend Hellenbrook, that the Lord does not really need names, but that he has given himself names to reasons to separate himself from idol gods, and in the second place, that he make known something of himself, of his glorious majesty, of his attributes, to the children of men. Grant us first rightly to know thee. The first question of Reverend Hellenbrook, whence knowest thou that there is a God? And then I turn to fathers and mothers. Can you now give the answer in this evening hour what Reverend Hellenbrook has said? Then he has said, from nature and from the scriptures. And to that end, how often in the scriptures we have also heard it out of Psalm 147 concerning praising the Lord. It is true, the most important he has begun with the church. The Lord hath built up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. And then concerning the works for his children, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. And then at the end, he showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes, and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. Then the psalmist has begun, ended with Zion. But then we have also heard it, that he has spoken of the wonderful things in creation and providence. First, rightly to know thee. How often in the scriptures, oh, think of Psalm 8. Then the psalmist has declared, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And then in verse 3, when I consider the heavens, the moon, and the sun which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Does that take place in our life? Maybe boys and girls, you have seen the beautiful moon this week. And when we think of the moon, that also has relation to this petition. Because our boys and girls know that the moon gives no light, but that it receives all its light from the sun. It reflects the glory of the sun. And I read in Song of Solomon 6, verse 10, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, Of course, it is true, not always full moon. Nevertheless, what a beautiful picture of the first petition, hallowed be thy name, that the moon is given to reflect the light of the sun, and that it may shine upon the earth rightly. Then the instructors many times add a word in their explanation to grant it a deeper meaning, thus not only historical, but by the saving work of the Holy Spirit, that God becomes real, rightly to know thee. And we have also learned from Reverend Hellenbroek, based upon the scriptures, therefore Reverend Hellenbroek gives so many proof texts, that God must be known four ways. First, in his essence. Secondly, in his names. Thirdly, in his attributes. And fourthly, in his persons. Rightly to know thee. Thus we are called upon to use the means. We have mentioned creation. There's a blessing in our family circles and fathers and mothers. What beautiful opportunities the Lord grants in the realm of nature, that we may draw spiritual lessons and that we may be given to speak of the greatness of God, that he has created everything out of nothing and that he upholds everything by his divine providence. And concerning this petition, not a petition necessary, we say it reverently, for the sun and the moon and the stars. They declare the glory of God. It is not necessary that this petition is given to the birds in the early morning hour, because how early they sing the praises of the Lord, and not necessary for the fish and for the animals, but it is a petition that is given to the children of men, rightly to know thee. Then it is necessary that everything is put out of the way. Because when we consider this petition, hallowed be thy name, that the name of the Lord is glorified, that does not mean boys and girls, that the name of the Lord can be made greater, because that name is so lustrous, so glorious. He is perfect, unchangeable. Thus it is not a petition that the name of the Lord may be made greater, but it is a petition that is glory, and that it may be extolled upon this earth, in our hearts, and in the hearts of our fellow man. And therefore necessary that everything is taken out of the way. Christ has taught his church to watch and pray, to make it simple for our boys and girls. The sun that shines always the same, day and night, but there can be matters that obscures the brightness of the sun. Can be clouds, can be smog, forest fires. And then we do not see the sun in its brightness. And so, what a smog and pollution of sin there can be, that the Lord's name is not glorified. But as the instructors have stated at the end, that his name is blasphemed on our account. Then we think of holy baptism. boys and girls and older ones, then we are God-bearers. We are bearing the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost upon our foreheads. And the Lord is a very jealous God of us honor. Thus, our whole life is called upon with our baptized forehead, that his name may be glorified in all our ways. Our second thought, appraising his name in all his works. Then we read sanctify, that means to be set apart for a holy purpose. Glorify and praise thee in all thy works. And then the instructors, they have mentioned six attributes of the Lord. And then we can make a separation, a certain separation, not a complete separation. But when they have first spoken of the power, wisdom, and goodness of God, then we may speak especially of creation and of providence. Certain psalms which were written especially concerning these matters, Psalm 8, Psalm 19, Psalm 104, also the Psalm which we have read together, 147, the psalmist was also given to praise the Lord for his wonderful works in creation. Then in the second place, then how was power, wisdom, and goodness may appear and be manifested in a special way in the Lord's wonderful providence? Are there a few that have seen it in the past weeks, in the past week? Maybe matters in our daily life. For other people, maybe not so big, but small matters. And that we were given to see it, that is necessary. Because so much can take place that we not see it, but what a blessing it is with the Peter in Luke 5 verse 8. And when he saw it, that we were given in a special way to see his power, wisdom, and goodness concerning us. Thus, those first three attributes, then we could speak of Lord's the number 10. And when we consider his power and wisdom and goodness, not only in the way of prosperity, but also in the way of providential trials. It is true. Jesus has said to his disciples, what they do now, thou knowest not. Thou shalt know hereafter, in John 13, verse 7. But concerning the church, it is all in love. But when we consider the power and wisdom and goodness, then we may not limit it to the works of God's creation and of his providence, but also concerning the ingathering, the preserving, and the defending of his church. Oftentimes, concerning the gathering of the lambs in the sheepfold. And that does not mean, boys and girls, that they are lambs when the Lord finds them. There's a difference. There are boys and girls that have served the Lord from their youth. But there was also a Saul with those letters in his pocket, persecuting the church. But now how often the wonderful ways of the Lord for the conversion of his people, the Syrians, they have came in the land of Israel, taken a little maid along. That little maid, do not know old she was, boys and girls, but not so old. But in that far country, she was given to glorify your God. She was given to tell her mistress that she served such a mighty God that if her master would go to that land, that he surely would be healed. If we think of Manasseh, he had to be sent to Babylon. The Lord has used it. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. We think of the conversion of the jailer in Acts 16. Paul received a clear calling. There was a servant girl possessed with the devil that has cried out, "These be the servants of the living God which show us the way of salvation." And the whole city was troubled. They said these men troubled the city. And Paul and Silas were cast into prison. That had to be. Why, boys and girls? Because there was a jailer that was lying under the seal of election. And he had to come under the preaching of law and gospel with his house to be converted. How often we have read that one has entered the church, maybe not planning, special reasons, was the Lord's time. The same power and wisdom and goodness, boys and girls, young people, we must not think that we have to go astray. Can even be sometime with our young people, because many of the autobiographies that are written, they are extraordinary cases. And then it can even be that the thought comes in the mind of our young people, if I now become a rebellious boy and girl and live in the world, then maybe a better chance that I am converted. But let me ask you, how often does it happen in the church when a child, a young person, is brought up under the truth and they leave? It happens. To show the power, wisdom, and goodness of the Lord. But how often does it happen? The general way is that the Lord keeps his chosen people when they are brought up under the truth. He keeps them in the church, and there the Lord converts them. And there the same power, wisdom, and goodness is evident. Because when we see it aright, then the conversion of a sinner, in a certain sense, is a greater work than the creation of the world. Because in creation, there was no resistance. Thus first, the power, wisdom, and goodness of the Lord, that we may rightly know him, that we may notice it, that we may reflect on it, and that with a Job it may be experienced, for God maketh my heart soft. I read in other text in Psalm 28 verse 5, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operations of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. But now the instructors, they mention three more attributes: justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. It is true. Those three attributes, they are also revealed in the Lord's providence. If we think in the scriptures, those that have refused to obey the Lord, and even in an outward way acknowledge Him as the Creator and the upholder of the heavens and of the earth, read the histories of the kings of Judah, and then when they have departed from God's word, then the Lord has manifested also His justice in the punishing of the wicked and His mercy in the rewarding of the righteous. But now when we read the three attributes, justice, mercy, and truth, then they refer especially to the salvation of His church. Because we read in Psalm 85 verse 10, mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Thus it speaks of the work of a triune God, the election of the Father, where He has chosen that church and given that church to His dear Son in the Council of Peace upon the fulfilling of the conditions of the covenant of grace. Oh, that justice is manifested on the cross of Golgotha, where we see the justice manifested in a special way, that the Lord cannot overlook sin, but rather in the life of His church, to let sin go unpunished, that He has punished the same in His beloved Son. Oh, the mercy of the Lord, the mercy of a triune God, they are clearly displayed. And to that end, oh, the church shall be given to praise the Lord, a small beginning here below. Our third thought, directing our lives regarding His name, let us first sing. Psalter 15, the three stanzas. O Lord, our Lord, Thy glorious name, all Thy wondrous works proclaim. In the heavens with radiant signs, evermore Thy glory shines. And what follows, Psalter 15, the three stanzas. The first petition, hallowed be thy name. And knowing his name in its magnitude, praising his name in all his works, and now thirdly, directing our lives regarding his name. We have heard congregation concerning the preaching of the law and the part of gratitude that the instructors have explained the purpose for deeper uncovering that we may more and more know our sinful nature, pray more and be earnest in seeking the remission of our sins. When we consider the explanation of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer, then what a deep uncovering and also a call for examination. And then the instructors have added that we may so order and direct our whole lives. The instructors have used that word may. That is the privilege of the king's children. That is the privilege of those lambs and sheep in the sheepfold of the good shepherd. Because it is not a forced work. The Lord has a willing people in the day of his power, and it is true. Also, when they read this answer, then they have much to confess, so much of self, seeking our own name above his name. How necessary what John the Baptist has declared. In John 3, verse 30, he must increase, and I must decrease. And nevertheless, it is the may, by the work of the Holy Spirit. Of course, we have also heard in Lord's Day number 32 concerning good works, there is a must. 'Tis the calling of the Lord. But the instructors have used that word may, and when they may be given to consider his wonderful works, his attributes, his mercy, his goodness, and his grace, then it shall be with Psalm 116, verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? That we, the word I, we do not read in the Lord's Prayer, but we, then it becomes the desire when the Lord works, it becomes the desire that the Lord is praised by our families, everyone, and by everyone in the midst of the congregation, because he is so worthy of that praise to order and direct our whole lives. Thus, that speaks of the purpose. Maybe there are young people that are struggling with the purpose of your life. And now the main purpose, of course, can be expanded. All the questions, all the struggles. But the main purpose of your life that is declared in this Lord's Day, that we may so order, so, that refers to the foregoing statements, order and direct our whole lives. Concerning that ordering and directing, then maybe our boys and girls can remember the word sin. This middle letter is I. That is now sin. Then we do not direct and order our lives to the Lord's glory or for the welfare of our neighbor, but sin that goes to self. And now this petition, Psalm 150, not unto us, not unto us, O Lord, but unto thee be all the honor given, and direct our whole lives, not only on the Lord's Day, but that speaks of public, speaks of private, all aspects of our life, studies, mother in the home, father at work, the business world. It includes everything that the world may be given to see, that the Holy Scriptures, that is our guide, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions. How must the Lord now be praised by us? We have read it out of Psalm 147, that the psalmist was given to praise the Lord with his mouth, to sing the praises of the Lord. When we may be given oftentimes to be found at the throne of grace, acknowledging his divine attributes, that he is the giver of all, with the confession of our sins, also concerning this petition, and that we are given to cry for mercy when as lambs, as sheep, as dove may be oftentimes found at the throne of grace, and thereby the Lord is praised. Then further, a dependent life, a trusting life. We read of King Ahaziah when he fell through the lattice, that he has sent messengers to an idol god, and that the prophet has said, is there not a god in Israel that thou goest to seek Baal-zeab, the god of Ekron? The Lord's name is praised when that love becomes evident in the life, in our lives, and that is a love for his word, for his day, for his house, for his institutions, for his people. Was the Lord's name not glorified when on the border between Moab and Judah, that a Ruth has made that precious choice, thy people shall be my people and thy God my God? Oh, then what a gladness and what a rejoicing that is given to Nehemiah. Further, obedience. Samuel has said to Saul in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, to obey is better than sacrifice, because surely when we despise God's word, I'm not speaking about infirmities. When we read the explanation, then we all have many reasons to be ashamed, and most of all, God's people. But when we willfully, even when admonished, when we continue to harden our heart and disobey God's word, the Lord is praised. When sacrifices are being made, that is the true religion. If we have a religion with no sacrifices, it is not the religion of the Bible. Think of the book of Daniel, those three friends. When they refused to bow before that golden image, how God's name was glorified. When they were cast into the furnace, the fourth, the likeness of the Son of God, and that they came out unscathed. Daniel 6, how the name's Lord, the Lord's name was glorified when Daniel has continued openly to go to his chamber with those open windows to Jerusalem. When he has prayed and thanked, he was cast in the den of lions, but the Lord has watched over his servant. The name of the Lord was glorified. His name is glorified when we may be used to recruit new soldiers under the banner of Jesus Christ. And then we are not only speaking of office bearers, but when fathers and mothers may be used to that end, brothers and sisters, when his kingdom may come further in the way of trial, when we may be given to submit, agree, how the Lord's name was glorified with a Job, when those four messengers have come, lost all his possessions, stand children ushered into eternity. Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is glorified when the church, we have mentioned the moon, when they may be full moon, when they may be given to reflect the honor, the glory of that great God in their lives. When we think of Peter and John in Acts 4 verse 13, when they were before the Sanhedrin, it is specifically mentioned that they perceived that they had been with Jesus. And in Romans 8 verse 29, become conformable to the image of God. The name of the Lord is glorified when there may be that grief and that sorrow also over the sins of others. Think of Psalm 119, 136. Rivers of waters run down my eye because they keep not thy law. And further, that thy name may never be blasphemed on our account. Read different examples in the Bible that saints, that has become their main concern. Has that ever become our concern, congregation? That with our baptized forehead, that the name of the Lord is blasphemed, or that the world, our neighbors, become confused, that they think, how can it now be? On Sunday, two times to church, hopefully also during the week when it's possible, but they are not such a reflection of God's holy word. Not so much separation. And the name of the Lord is blasphemed. It is mentioned specifically that Nathan has related to David. And then we are not speaking of sins of infirmities. Many times we try to hide ourselves, but no one is perfect. We are all sinners. An absolute truth. May it be more felt, more wept over. But when it concerns, the name of the Lord is blasphemed. That is in public, can be seen. And after David has taken Bathsheba and killed Uriah, then Nathan has declared, that David has given reason that the name of the Lord is greatly blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. Congregation, we are all guilty, but when we consider this explanation, then could we say that perhaps this explanation we have heard from the Ten Commandments uncovering, we have heard very guilty. And then in this petition, how guilty we are. The Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd, he has perfectly sought the honor of his father. 12 years old, wished ye not that I must be in my father's business. In his high priestly prayer, John 17, verse 4, I have glorified thee upon the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. And in the meditatorial work, in his passive and active obedience, there lies pardon and forgiveness for a people that have to confess. Also concerning the first petition, Lord, my sins are great and manifold. Nevertheless, God's people, they do have a beginning. They can honestly declare, oh, it is not always lively. Can be so busy with the world, and self can come so in between, and the Pharisee on the throne. But when the Lord grants it, then it is their desire, their concern, and it is their delight when their God may be glorified, and then they may say the desire, what we read in Psalm 107, 4 times. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works, to the children of men. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day, yet a few words to speak. We have heard of the first petition, our high calling, and our guilt. 'Tis necessary that it becomes guilt each time by renewal, and that by thy grace that there may be a fleeing to that fountain of blood. Thy people may have a small beginning. In eternity it shall be in perfection. Lord, thou hast granted that we may commence another week. We humbly ask thee that thou may graciously watch over each and every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, the mothers with the children in home, in the home. Remember on the way, remember at work, wherever we are called to be. Wilt thou keep us from harm and danger, and also concerning our work, that there may be those times that we may be given to meditate upon thy greatness, thy attributes, the one thing needful to be in the fold of the Great Shepherd. Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation? And then, Lord, we may humbly ask thee, if it may please thee, by renewal, to grant refreshing showers upon the thirsty earth. And what is necessary for the earth, that is necessary each time by renewal, for thy church. Wilt thou remember the family circle that are called upon to bury their father, their grandfather? Wilt thou grant traveling mercies to that end? Remember on the coming Lord's Day, wilt thou help the consistory, grant many Aaron's and hers. Remember all those that have an active part in the service, our doorkeepers, those that may lead the congregational singing, those that take care of the sound. Lord, wilt thou so graciously watch over us in the furtherance of this evening hour, watch over us in this night, and that we may refresh awake, and for the labors which thou hast laid upon us to grant strength and courage, forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 436, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Praise, praise ye all the Lord of lords, all ye his servants, bless his name. Ye that at night his watch maintain, extol his services with fame. And what follows, 436, the three stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.